Hi, Katie. Welcome to the Rotunix podcast.
And hi.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I am a young adult author. I write other things too, but primarily young adult these days. My first book, I have to say that I was going to say this, I wrote it pre-COVID. It came out pre-COVID. It's quarantine. My second book I wrote in the summer of 2020, that one is called It's Going Viral. And that one is very much about COVID. And that one was just, it was interesting to write about something as the whole world was kind of experiencing it. My third book is called Pumpkin Spice and Everything Nice. I have two notes about that after my next book. My fourth book is called Meant to Be. That just came out 3 weeks ago. But two things to say about Pumpkin Spice and Everything Nice. The book came out a year ago, but then Barnes & Noble did a special edition of the book this year, this fall, for their Hot Coffee Hot book promotion. And it's a beautiful book. It's got sprayed edges. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
The book ended up going viral online, and I was completely oblivious to what was happening because I was on vacation with my family. So we were out and about all day eating ice cream. I went back to the place we were staying, and I checked my phone for the first time. I'm like, what's happening on Instagram? Why am I being tagged in all these posts? And I still don't think I really realized what was happening until I went to my Barnes & Noble back home, and they're like, oh, that book is really blowing up on TikTok. And I was like, oh, I forgot about TikTok. So I went home, opened TikTok, and I was like, oh my God, it's everywhere. And it was just completely wild to see Pumpkin Spice and Everything Nice, just everyone talking about it, trying to say my name, talking about the book. And just, it still is mind-blowing. Second thing I wanted to say is that I wrote Pumpkin Spice when I was really sick. I was going through chemotherapy, and it was a really nice escape to write the book. And the book actually came out a few weeks after I finished this drug called Lynparza. It's kind of like a chemo medication. So the book came out a few weeks after that. And then also with Meant to Be, I wrote that during recovery time. I mean, I don't think I realized how challenging that time period is going to be. I was like, I'm done with treatment. Life is great. Everything will be fine. But it's like, that was a really challenging time for me. And Meant to Be, it was just like such a nice, cozy, warm, escape, just kind of go into it. That was the bright end. I really do feel like saved my life.
I can imagine you, in some ways, I was joking, like you manifested because you have going viral and then advice. But we also have to think about, as writers, we may not forecast the trends of what's going on. We may have an idea, but obviously we did not expect COVID to happen. We had
no.
I moved out of New York 2 weeks before COVID to Chicago.
Oh, God.
No, just an apartment. And I had chosen, thank goodness, I chose the bigger apartment that was a little of my budget. Because little did I know that I would spend a year and a half in that apartment.
Oh, my God.
In this strange city, no family, no friends, nobody. I was interviewing people. I was doing podcasting because I had nothing to do. And I was doing the space. And we can't expect it. And yet, at the same time, like, you're writing for where we are, Spice and Meant to Be, are kind of like the balm of this terrible, weird time that we live. Like, we live in this timeline that's like, what are we doing? And so we're for that comfort of like fall, like the idea of the Gilmore Girls and Pumpkin Spice and the fall change and the leaf shading and the space of like romance. And it's like comforting. We know the enemy is going to be okay. Nobody's going to die.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's been really nice too. I've gotten some really nice messages from people who have written me to tell me that my books have helped them get through their own challenging times. And it's just really moving messages. And I'm like, that's just, I tell them and I really mean it. Like my writing can help you through a difficult time. I'm like, that's such an honor. I mean, I think that's every writer's goal, is to touch a reader or affect a reader in such a moving line. It's amazing that my writing can help someone that much.
Yeah. So talk to us about Pumpkin Spice and Everything Nice. What is the elevator pitch, or like, what are the high levels or the vibes? Obviously it's Pumpkin Spice's fall.
Yeah.
So why? So
it's true. So this is tricky too, because Pumpkin Spice came out a year ago and then Meant to Be is the newest one. So I'm like, I just feel like Pumpkin Spice is like the older child, like Meant to Be is like the new baby, like trying to like get attention. Okay. Pumpkin Spice is, don't forget about me. But Pumpkin Spice and Meant to Be both take place in the same world. They're both in Briar Glen. A lot of the stories take place at the local coffee shop called Cup of Joe. And Pumpkin Spice and Everything Nice, Lucy and her mom help her in Cup of Joe. And then a big coffee chain moves in across the streets. Ironically, Lucy hates Pumpkin Spice because it doesn't have any actual real pumpkin. But then their business starts to suffer because the big Jane across the street starts to sell their coffee, and Lucy decides to make a perfect pumpkin spice latte with help from her crush slash nemesis slash we'll see. And it's just, it's a, like I said, it's a cozy, warm story. And then Meant to Be is also the same world, and it's about a main character named Emma, and she has moved to New York to go to boarding school from Briar Glen, and she left without saying goodbye to her best friend named Aiden. And now she's back in town. It's the holidays. Aiden doesn't know she's back. He doesn't know that she's brought her boyfriend with her. The scenes take place. They go ice skating. They make Christmas cookies. The story is told from dual points of view and also with flashbacks. There's one scene at like a Christmas tree lighting. Like, it's all just very, it's just like a warm sweater. It's just very cozy and warm.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you're doing, you wrote this in the other side of recovery. What was the, like, what was the feeling of escaping to this world that is like comforting, in some ways comforting? The Christmas, the holidays, the traditions, the family, the young love, which is very different from an adult
world. Yeah, it's like, very wholesome, very, very clean.
It's a very wholesome, like, if, mostly first. That's the beauty of writing 1A, is that you're constrained with parent and barely adult responsibilities and adult worries.
Right.
And you're trying to, and you discover all these firsts, and you figure out like how to make sense of your world.
Yeah. It was just weird to go from like things I was going through, just feeling horrible, and then let's turn on my computer and let's learn about like pumpkin spice lattes. And again, I just feel like that's kind of, it's a privilege to get to do that. And I, again, I think the world right now, just I think we all just need a little escape into Briar Glen.
Yes, I have made a concentrated effort to talk to as many authors who are writing holiday romances. Holiday, or they like holiday. I'm recording this on October 28th, and I just friends. I've worked with a couple friends in the morning, and I was like, I need to bring the Christmas tree. And they're like, you cannot do this. It's too early. And I was like, I have to. So I'm waiting for November 1st just to have the Christmas tree. I'm reading Christmas romances because I'm preparing for all these interviews. And it's like, it's just terrible. And I just need something to look forward to. So I have writers like you who write these books, because right now we just need something.
Yeah, it's just some light, happy, just happiness. Yeah, like just some comfort. Just like, I guess like a little, it's just a warm hug.
A warm hug and everything.
Yeah.
Katie, talk to them about your reading, because you read widely. You read nonfiction, you read paper, audio, you toggle along and stuff like that. And talk to us about like what books do you escape to?
So, like you said, it's almost Halloween. So I've been reading and listening to some spooky books. I listened to one called Murder Road by Simone St. James. And it's, I like her work because it's spooky and creepy without being overly gory or glamorizing any kind of violence. Like, I just, they're just creepy enough. They're ghost stories. And like, I can't deal with extreme gore. I am extremely squeamish. My husband's watching a trailer for some Netflix show about a serial killer, and I literally had to leave the room because I was about to puke. I was like, I cannot watch this. I can't do it. So I really appreciate authors like Simone St. James who write just, I don't want to say, less terrifying and less gory stories.
Like horror light.
Yes. PG-13. Yes, I'm okay with that. I also listened to Agatha Christie's radio stories recently, and it's like a modernized version of some of her original stories, which people might have mixed feelings about. Thought it was kind of interesting. I also just read the paper book of a YA book called Xyla and Kai. And I really liked it. It's by Christina Forrest, and it's about two teens. And I really like that the characters are both very, like, they're strong. Xyla is, she's really into fashion. She wants to go to fashion school. She's a really good designer. And then Kai, his parents died when he was young, but he's in therapy, and he's in touch with his feelings, and he talks about his feelings. And I really think that's unusual, but a good thing for teens to know that they can talk about, especially men and boys. They can go to therapy. It's okay to go to therapy. It's a good thing to talk about your feelings, to kind of work through what you've gone through. I also recently read Leonora Carrington, her collection of short stories. She's a surrealist author. She did not want to be anyone's muse. She writes this kind of mystical stories with all kinds of stories about changelings, and just it. I didn't realize how kind of perfectly timed it was for Halloween season, that it's just her stories are kind of eerie, but just magical realism kind of too. And I don't know. I love kind of escaping into her world. I mean, very different than the world I escape into when I write, but that's just kind of fun to go on her, just like into where her mind goes.
Yeah. I have all these recommendations because you use like lighter settings. So they're perfect for people who are like me, who do not do scary things. And like, I have PTSD. So it's like, I'm terrible PTSD. Like, there's a point in the summer that I had brum noise because I had a portable AC and my body thought that I was in war. That's how. And so I need, like, I'm to be very mindful of what triggers me. And so I find comforting little ghosts or things that I'm like outside of the control. Terrible things that happen in today's world. So I like these recommendations that are spooky, but they're not going to give me nightmares.
Yeah. Oh, another good spooky one too. Dan Pavlovsky, he writes spooky stories. And actually his book is called More Tales to Keep You Up at Night. And the one before that, Tales to Keep You Up at Night. And his stories, they're for like middle grade or older elementary school kids. They're just creepy enough to kind of make you like, oh my God, what's happening? But also not enough to make you like want to throw up.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Katie, I love these recommendations. Tell us where you can find you online.
Sure. I am on Instagram at Katie_Cicatelli_writes or katiecicatelli.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whattoreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there.